What of Israel's modern story, ancient prophecy in Ezekiel 17, and the chaos of today's politics are all preaching the same message to your heart, that God keeps every promise and weighs every oath you make before Him. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. And welcome to Old Testament Tuesday. It's going to be a fun day of diving into God's Word. So if you're enjoying these daily devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this in your huddle. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, I want to encourage you to do that. You go to the Apple App Store or the Google Play, search out Washington Defender, and you'll see our little logo there with half of the Washington state, and you can download it and begin to activate through learning together, huddling together, and activating together. Also, if you're a financial partner with FPIW or FPIWaction.org, I want to say thank you so very much. Your $5, $10, $15, $20, $100 a month really does help us out. And so if you're not, I want to encourage you to think about being a financial partner today and join us and making sure that we can change hearts. That in turn changes the public square. So this is Old Testament Tuesday, and so we're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 17. Now, I will tell you, if you're not as familiar with studying the Old Testament and or studying prophecy in the Old Testament, one of the things to remember is you may read a portion of scripture that causes some tension in your heart, like, I don't get that. But oftentimes, if you just read the next set of verses, it explains what you just read. Not always. I'm very comfortable with not knowing something. We can go to the Lord and ask Him for understanding. So I'm going to give you an overview. In verses 1 through 10, we are going to see that there's in Ezekiel 17, that God is going to talk about the riddle of two eagles and the vine. And then verses 11 through 21, the Lord interprets and indicts. So He's going to interpret verses 1 through 10 and 11 through 21. And then verses 22 to 24, the Lord's own planting and the noble cedar. So let's see what He has to say in verses 1 through 10, the riddle of the two eagles and the vine. Okay. Verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, propound a riddle and speak a parable to the house of Israel. So he's being instructed. Hey, I want you to give a riddle and a parable. Okay, so that's what we're going to see. We're going to see something right here in our hearts and in our minds that He's going to give us an example of something else. Now, remember, we're going to look at God's interpretation of that in verses 11 through 21. So in verses 3 through 4, the first great eagle and the cedar top, saying, in verse 3, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle with a great wings, long pinions, and a full plumage of many colors came to Lebanon and took away the top of the cedar. Okay, so they came down to Lebanon. They took away the top of the cedar. He plucked off the topmost of its young twigs and brought it to a land of merchants. He set it in a city of traders. All right, so we see the beginning here. And we see this great eagle. Now, let's look at the seed of the land and the low vine. He also took some of the seed of the land and planted it in fertile soil. He placed it beside abundant waters. He set it like a willow. Then it sprouted and became a low spreading vine with its branches turned towards him. But its roots remained under it. So it became a vine and yielded shoots and sent out branches. Okay, so again, don't worry too much because we're going to understand in just a few verses, God's going to explain this to us. So now there's a second eagle and the treacherous vine. Verse 7, but there was another great eagle with great wings and much plumage, and behold, this vine bent its roots towards him and sent out its branches towards him from the beds where it was planted, that he might water it. It was planted in good soil beside abundant waters, that it might yield branches and bear fruit and become a splendid vine. Verse 9. Say, thus saith the Lord God, will it thrive? Will he not pull up its roots and cut off its fruit so that it withers, so that all its sprouting leaves wither, and neither by great strength nor by many people can it be raised from its roots again? Verse 10, behold, though it is planted, will it thrive? Will it not completely wither as soon as the east wind strikes it, wither on the beds where it grew? All right. So those are the verses. That's the riddle and the parable. Now, we are going to understand this, not from making up our own ideas about this, but looking at verses 11 through 21. So God's going to interpret. Verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, so here we have movement one. When God explains our history, he's going to explain it right here. He's going to show us a little bit about what is taking place. He's going to show how God retells Judah's recent history, exile, puppet kings, foreign treaties, and a riddle forcing them to see their politics through his eyes. We need to see the politics that we're involved with through the eyes of God. So he's going to encourage the hearer to read national and church events under God's covenant lens rather than only through human strategy and power. This is so important. So let's look at verse 11 and through 16. So it says, say that I left verse 11 out. Now, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, say now to the rebellious house, do you not know what these things mean? Say, behold, the king of Babylon came to Jerusalem, took its king and prince, and brought them to him to Babylon. So we see that the first eagle came to where? It says, say not the rebellion. Do you not know that these things mean? Behold, the king of Babylon came to Jerusalem and took its king and prince and brought them to Babylon. So he took one of the royal family and made a covenant with him, putting him under oath. He also took away the mighty of the land, that the kingdom might be in subjection, not exalting itself, but keeping his own covenant that it might continue. Verse 15, but he rebelled against him by sending the envoy to Egypt that they might give him horses and many troops. Will he succeed? Remember, will he thrive? Will he succeed? Will he who does such thing escape? Can he indeed break the covenant and escape? So here he has a covenant and he sends off and tries to do it another way through Egypt. And he says, hey, is this going to succeed? Is this going to take place? As I live, declares the Lord God, surely in the country of the king who put him on the throne, whose oath he despised and whose covenant he broke, in Babylon he shall die. So what can we learn from this? There is a seriousness of despising God's oath. Think about that. Verse 17, Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company will not help him in the war when they cast up ramps and build siege walls to cut off the many lives. Now he despised the oath by breaking the covenant, and behold, he pledged his allegiance, yet did all these things. He shall not escape. Verse 19, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely my oath which he despised and my covenant which he broke, I will inflict on his head. I will spread my net over him, and he will be caught in my snare. Then I will bring him to Babylon and enter judgment with him there regarding the unfaithful act which he has committed against me. All the choice men in all his troops will fall by the sword, and the survivors will be scattered to every wind, and you will know that I am the Lord. Have spoken. So this is a repeated theme in the book of Ezekiel. A lot of these judgments and a lot of the things where when human, the Jewish people, the Israel people broke their oath and covenant with God, it will end with something like this, so that you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. He's saying, I want you to know that I am true. And if we walk away with nothing else from this parable and riddle today, hopefully we will walk away knowing that God's word is true. So there's a way of our oath. When we make a covenant, when we make an oath, whether that be a marriage covenant, whether that be a covenant with the Lord, whatever that might be, God weighs that oath. And we see here that he's emphasizing that Zedekiah's oath to Babylon, sworn in the Lord's name, meant that breaking it was treachery before God, not mere diplomacy. This is so important. If you're an elected leader, be a person of your word. If you're a businessman or woman, be a person of your word. We need to understand the seriousness of our promises made before God, whether it's our marriage vows, our ministry commitment, our covenants. God holds us to the words that we commit ourselves. We need to have a yes be yes and our no be no. So we see that this takes place. And again, I would encourage you to go back, read through Ezekiel 17, the whole chapter, really slow. So the Lord's own planting and the noble cedar. Look at this. We're going to look at verses 22 through 23, which is a tender spring from the cedar's top. Look at verse 22. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and set it out. I will pluck from the topmost of the young twigs a tender one, and I will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the high mountain of Israel, I will plant it, that it may bring forth boughs and bear fruit and become a stately cedar, and birds of every kind will rest under it. They will rest in the shade of the branches. So this great cedar is for the nations. All the trees of the field will know that I am the Lord. I will bring down the high tree, exalt the low tree, dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken. I will perform it. So the chapter ends very specifically. Read through this slowly. All the trees of the field, in other words, all the nations of the world will know that I am the Lord. One of the reasons why God is dealing with Israel even right now in their unbelief, and I'm saying that as a whole. I understand there are Christian believers in Israel. There's Christian Jews in Israel. But the bulk of the population is in unbelief. One of the reasons why he's dealing with them right now, and we're seeing all these things, and why he's being faithful to Israel is because he wants everyone to know that he is the Lord. He wants all the other nations to know that I am the Lord. I will bring down the high tree and exalt the low tree. Okay? I will dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. Why? I am the Lord, he says. I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will perform it. Wow. Israel is our living example of God's faithfulness to humanity. This is why it's so dangerous right now with all this replacement theology going around that says that the church is that, everything else is that. You're taking away the very example that God predestined and set out for us, Israel. Now, I've been asked many times, well, does that mean that Israel is saved through a different way? No, there's salvation through only one, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus, a Jew, died on the cross for our sins, rose again that we may have eternal life, and conquered sin and death. And the scriptures that we see do not say anywhere that Israel has been replaced by the church. Israel is still our living example of God's faithfulness. And yes, he will do this so that we will know, all the nations will know that he is God. Israel is God's testimony. Wow. The church, you say, what's the church? How is the church special? We're his bride. The Bible says that. The believers in Jesus Christ are his bride. We are his bride, and he loves us so very much. So when we look at this last movement of verses 22, when human plantings fail, God plants his own seeds. We see that. And we can contrast the failed vine of Zedekiah, where he tried to arrange it in his own ways with Babylon and Egypt and all that. But we have to understand that God has a cedar, a tender Davidic shoot that becomes a noble sheltering tree. So what's our point? We can be as literal as possible. David's line, whose kingdom includes people of many nations and whose reign embodies God's power to humble the proud and raise up the lowly. So as you're going to that public square today, always remember, God is faithful to Israel because God spoke and his word is faithful. God is faithful to you. When he says you are free, you are free. When he says that you are his bride, you are his bride. When he says that you have been begotten by the Son, you have been begotten. That you have been bought by the price of Jesus Christ. We are his heirs. We are his joint heirs in Christ. And so Jesus, the only begotten, has become our sacrifice. You know, we're seeing a lot of things in Israel right now. A lot of tensions around the world. And I want to encourage you, God is faithful. Whether you're in Venezuela, whether you are in Iran, whether you are in China, whether you're Russia, North Korea, South Korea, wherever you might be, Taiwan, all these tensions, the Philippines, Rwanda, we're seeing things happen all around our world right now. Europe, United States, Canada. I want you to know God is faithful. He's faithful to you, his bride. He's faithful to Israel, his chosen nation. God is faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. And Lord, we do set our hearts on you as we go into our workplaces today. God, we acknowledge that you are a faithful God. You go before us in all things. You surround us in all things, God. God, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace that's new every morning. God, we pray for Israel and the peace of Jerusalem. We pray that they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God, we pray that many Jews would come to know you as Messiah. God, we know that in these last days that times are coming that are going to be difficult. And God, we know that you are faithful to your bride. Thank you. Thank you for calling us your bride. What an honor to be called the bride of Christ. And we thank you for Israel, your chosen nation. God, we thank you that you have set them apart as a testimony that you are God. Be glorified through Israel. Let them turn to you and to know you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.